It's good to be in the house of the Lord, is it not?
Yes.
Let us go to God in prayer. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all of our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
God, whose love is free.
Please join me for our opening prayer. We seek your presence here today, even while we acknowledge that we often hide from you. Lord God, draw us out of our hiding places and into the light of your grace and love, and teach us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
As the sun, we first began.
It would have been 45 years ago on an Easter Sunday evening that I affirmed God, that I affirmed His mercy and His grace. And I have to say, all these years later, it's no less amazing, the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, dear God. Our Old Testament reading this evening comes to us from the prophet Joel, and he was speaking specifically to Judah, and he was telling them that God's judgment was near, but that if they turned to Him, that they could pass out of that judgment. This is what we read. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is indeed coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army is coming, such as never was of old nor ever will be in the ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and He is compassionate. Thank you, dear God. Slow to anger and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. Praise you, God. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring them together, the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, which we celebrate as the beginning of our 40-day journey through the Lenten season. Tonight, we join together with others who share our beliefs so that we can worship you and confess our sins corporately. We take time tonight to remember our own mortality and to respond to your call for our repentance from our sinful ways. When the prophet Joel began his teaching, there had been an invasion of locusts which led to total destruction of the land. The agricultural economy had been destroyed. And there was a national calamity. And as we heard in Joel chapter 2, Joel warns the Jews that something even worse than locusts was coming. Joel tells them what you expected of them in the face of another national calamity. He says that their only hope of stopping the next, even deadlier invasion was repentance. Father, we too have been living in the middle of a worldwide crisis. Help us to heed Joel's advice. Joel told the Jews that you call your people to examine their hearts and to expose any idols that have taken control of their lives. You are calling us in the same way. You beckon us to return to you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for being gracious and compassionate. Thank you for being slow to anger and abounding in love. Help us to take a good hard look at who we really are deep down. And then help us to surrender everything so that we can seek you with all of our hearts. Father, thank you for sharing our deepest concerns. Thank you for your presence with us, leading us through all of our challenges. We pray for your healing presence and your peace to be with those who are sick. Comfort those, Father, who are grieving. We pray that we would love as Jesus has taught us, and that we would soften our hearts and mend our broken relationships. And we pray, Father, now that you would be with us as we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If we seek me, ye shall ever surely find me. Thus saith our God, if with all your hearts ye truly seek me, ye shall ever surely find me.
Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for all the wonderful and varied blessings that you have extended upon each and every one of us. Even the gift of life that you give to us, the breath that we breathe every day. All the gifts that you give to us, we give you thanks, Lord. And we return just a portion of that back into your holy hands. We ask that you would bless these gifts, bless also all those that bring them, that together we may accomplish what you ask for us to do. In your most holy name. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.
World with
I invite us to be seated.
Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Can we say amen? Amen. There is no greater thing. Jesus encounters us where we are in life. He comes to us like the father in the story of the prodigal. And it's important that we keep that in mind as we read the gospel tonight, as Jesus encountered the little Mokees of Capernaum, a tax collector of the worst kind, and had all of the authority of the Roman government and the hatred of the God's chosen people. But this is what God blesses him to say to us. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth that they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward. But when you and I pray, go into a room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward already in full. But when you and I fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will indeed reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Praise you, God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord God Almighty, we thank you always in every way for the gift of your holy word. For your word is a gift to us. It's meant to shape us. It's meant to inform us of who you are and whose we are. It comes down from heaven to our ears, Lord, and you say, those that have ears, let them hear. So Lord, allow us to hear your words tonight. Emblazon those words upon each and every one of our hearts here this evening, that we might be transformed by those words and be and become the people that you created us to be, people of hope, people of faith, people who live up to your expectations. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. I remember as a little kid going to a mass, and we were receiving ashes. I was a young Catholic, and we're going up to get ashes on our foreheads, and then they read this gospel message. When you fast, you know, go do it in private. And here's all of us going out of the place with these crosses on our heads, and I'm thinking, does this not bother anybody? Until years and years later, when I was doing a study on Jonah and how Jonah went to the people of Nineveh and how they heard that five-word preaching of Jonah. He didn't really want those people of Nineveh to turn around. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to be transformed. He was looking for them to be punished, He wanted them to be destroyed. That's why he ran the other way. And yet he preaches this little five-sentence preaching, goes only one day into this three-day journey city, and God makes it effective. God changes people's hearts. The king sends out a decree that everyone should put on ashes and sackcloth, not only the people, but their animals. Think about it. And they repented from their sins. And they honored God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God relented from punishing them because he wanted them to turn around. This whole season of Lent is about us focusing our attention on the journey to the cross. It's about us focusing our attention on God's will for our lives. It's about us hearing God's word and allowing it to be applied to our lives in such a way that we become new people, that we become transformed, and that we can live in a world that people will notice that we are Christians, not because we have crosses on our heads, but because we have crosses on our hearts, and that we have the love of God in our hearts in such a way that it spills over. You hear me say all the time that we're blessed to be a blessing, but that's the truth. We are blessed to be a blessing in the world. The whole Abrahamic covenant was about the people of Israel showing the world God's goodness so that they would be attracted to God and that they would come to God and they would be blessed. All the nations of the world would be blessed because of Abraham's children. And so Abraham, who we call the father of our faith, he's our forefather, and we as his children are children of faith, children of God, are blessed to be a blessing. And Jesus says, on that day, be careful not to allow your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward. In other words, don't do it for the purposes of others seeing. But how do we be blessed to be a blessing? By being the blessing. By being the person in the community that brings forth truth. Being the person in the community that comes alongside of people when they have need. Being the person in the community that not only says, I'll pray for you, but prays on the spot when someone's in need of prayer. Why wait? The prayer is so much more effective when done together. Whenever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of it. And God will work immediately in the prayer that's offered in real life response to need. God's there with us, and God's there with the person who receives the prayer. And so that all are blessed in the process, and God shows up. In this season of Lent, it becomes a lot of people's practice to do some things, like give up candies or give up cookies or confections or whatever. There's all kinds of things that people do, or run another mile or do this or that or do something in ministry. You don't always have to give up things. But hear these words. We're expected to give. It says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth that they have received their reward in full. But when you give, see, there's an expectation that we are to give. He says, when you give, not if you give, but when you give. Being blessed to be a blessing means that we're givers. That we give of ourselves, we give of our talents, we give of our financial well-being, we share. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. But that kind of secret's never undone. God sees it. He sees the heart. He knows the act of giving that comes from the heart. The graciousness that comes from the heart, because he is in it. And in the blessing, he is in the blessing, and he is in the receiving of it as well. Then it says, and when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. That always bothers me because I pray in front of people all the time. I get paid to do it. Is that the only reason why I pray? No. I hope that's not the only reason I pray. But we are to pray in public. We are to pray in places. We're expected to do those kinds of things. But when we pray to God, our prayers to God, night, day, morning, driving in your car, you know, the earnest prayer of the heart, God hears those prayers. I love in Revelation where it says that the angels bring the bowl of prayers up to God, and God says, shh, I want to hear the prayers of my people. I want to hear the prayers of my people. I think about that, and I think about, I don't know if you remember the movie, Bruce Almighty, right? He was this anchor man in Buffalo, and he decides it would be like to be God, you know, for like a season. You know, it's easy to be God. If you're God, you can do all these things. And all of a sudden, and God grants him the wish. You can be God. He doesn't tell him that he's only God in Buffalo. But he starts getting all these prayers, and he starts putting these computer things in and answering prayers. He's making a big mess of things. God hears everyone's prayers. You think about it. Every prayer is important to our God. And all the people that are praying, even now as we pray, God hears them and understands them. And he knows the hearts of men and women, and prayer is important. And God expects us to pray. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then this big one, fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. That's what we're going to do tonight. To show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men. Then you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then it goes on to say about storing up treasures in heaven. And he's letting us know that what we do in our giving, in our praying, in our fasting, is storing up treasures in heaven. Storing up treasures in heaven. Where God sees it. He knows what motivates us. And he rewards it in ways that we can't even begin to understand. And so God blesses us, and through us he blesses others, and through them he blesses others, and through them, and it's exponential. There's an expectation of being a Christian, and that is that we will focus on the things above. I love the song that you picked for us for tonight, and Tom mentioned it, Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You, Jesus. There is no greater thing. You know, when we focus on our relationship in Christ, we have it all. We really do. We have everything we need. We have his spirit. We have his word. We have the gift of his salvation, the gift of life, the gift of the spirit in us. And we truly then become blessed to be a blessing. Allow this Lenten season, these next 40 days. And by the way, Lent lasts for 40 days, but it's really 47 days, isn't it, Tom? The seventh day of each week, our Sabbath, is a holy day, but it's also a feast day. It's not a fast day, it's a feast day. And so the Lenten season of 40 days is only the Monday through Saturday. Every Sunday is a little Easter, because it's the Lord's Day. And so if you do give something up for Lent, if that's your practice, take a break on Sunday and have a feast and come to church and go to worship and just enjoy your Lord. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You are my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you always in every way for the God that you are. We thank you for as small as we are, that you think about us, that you love us. Scripture tells us that while we were yet in our sins, you died for our sins. And that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Lord God, I thank you for this day. We thank you for Ash Wednesday. We thank you for this season of Lent. Allow us to make it a holy Lent. Allow us to make it a time of shaping, of preparation, of being prepared for Easter Sunday. Allow us to see your journey to the cross and to come alongside of you as we take up our own crosses. Allow us to love you, O Lord, with a deep and contrite and sorrowful heart, that we might know your love in exponential ways. And Lord, that you might expect of us to be reflective of your love in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Please join me in this litany of confession. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican.
We confess our reluctance to confess our sins to you or to one another.
We know that you know us. You know all about us without our telling you. We do not want our neighbors, our friends, even our loved ones to know everything. Our hiding from you is as foolish as Adam was when he tried to hide, as if you did not know that he was there. So on this first day of Lent, remind us that the masks we wear may protect us against loss of face, but cannot hide the truth about us from you or from ourselves. Remind us that there are no relationships without honesty, no healing forgiveness without confession. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. O God, we confess that we hardly know how to love you, because you are very great and seem far away. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we may love you in him. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Gracious God, we confess that in life of each of us, there is someone waiting for recognition, for reconciliation, for comfort. Give us the courage to make love's first move, that the strange as we now are may truly become neighbors. And yourself, you shall love as your neighbor. O God, we confess that we do not know how to love ourselves properly. We waver crazily between vanity and self-loathing. Teach us the right kind of self-love. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like others. But the publican beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Merciful God, make this season of Lent a time of honest self-searching and confession for each of us and for all of us, that by your grace we may grow in faith, in hope, and in love, but above all, in the greatest of these three, love, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of the saints, let us commend ourselves to one another and our whole life to Christ our Lord. To you, O Lord, we commend ourselves. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before Easter, celebration, there would be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ's Holy Church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now before our Creator and our Redeemer pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Us all to have a holy Lent, to take time to be holy, to live with the Lord, and allow that Lord to live in you in such a way that you truly are blessed to be a blessing to all that know and love you. Go in his peace, go in his way, and be a good representative in the world. Amen.